Well, I want to tell everyone a good evening. You guys left the best seats here. I don't know what you were thinking. But thank you for moving forward. Like Jared said, my name is Josh Goods. A lot of your faces are familiar. My wife Heather and my daughter Ellie are with me tonight. Like you said, we were in Liberia. We just came back about a month ago. And we moved there at the beginning of 2014. Let me just give you a little overview. We were there with Christian Aid Ministries. And I'll talk a little bit more about what we were doing. I was the medical director there in Liberia. We were there for about 7 months, and then we came back because of the Ebola virus. We were sent home for about 9 months, and then we went back again for about another year. During the time I was back, I was still working for Christian Aid Ministries, answering emails, and doing my job as best I could online. So, he said, we were in Liberia. So the question is, where in the world is Liberia? I think most of you know it's probably in Africa. I remember hearing this song when I was young, Lord, don't send me to Africa. And that's where he sent us. So, let me see if I can do that. Is that clear enough? Not sure how to run this thing. Anyway. We'll go like that. All right. So Liberia is there on the west coast of Africa, right along the shoreline, just a small country, not very big. And that's where we spent our time. The beginning part, I'm going to tell you a little bit about Africa, what life is like for the natives there, and how it was, what it was like for us. And then maybe the last half, I'll just tell more about what God has been speaking to me and to us as a family, and hopefully that can challenge each one of you tonight. So, my computer went to sleep. All right, so there is Liberia. We, as on the Christian Aid compound there, we lived about 45 minutes away from the capital city of Monrovia, about 20 minutes from the main airport there. But best of all, we lived about 10 minutes from the beach. So that was always nice going there to try to unwind and relax. What is Liberia like? Well, Liberia is very hot. 90 to 100 degrees often. The only thing that changes is that they have rainy season and dry season. So sometimes it's hot and humid, and other times it's hot and dry. It's very different having to worry about if you're taking a sweatshirt or a jacket along, because over there we didn't wear any of that, any coats or anything like that. The culture in general, all right, there's a picture just to make you all jealous. All right, there's our beach. The people of Liberia in general are very friendly. They like to talk to you, get to know who you are. They like to become your friend. Sometimes that means they just want to get something from you, but for most often they're very friendly. The language there in Liberia is English, although it is a Liberian English. They have different phrases, and when you first hear it, it took me a while to catch on to what they were saying. They often ask you, in the morning, how the day? Or how are you doing that day is what they're asking. They'd like to tell, like, if I would go back now, like, we go come back from a furlough, they haven't seen you for a while, there, it's a compliment, they'll come up and tell you that you're fat. You look fat. Just saying, you're looking healthy, you're looking well. Now, that would never go over here in America. They use the word fine and plenty all the time. If you ask them how they're doing, oh, I'm doing fine. And it's very, very generalized. If you would ask them, you know, how many children or how many people go to their church or their school, they would say there's plenty of them. I mean, they don't give you an idea. It's just plenty. So it is a little bit to get used to. They use even words that we use in a different way. Like if they want you to slide down the bench or slide down the row a little bit, they would tell you to dress small. The word dress means to move, and you want to move. They want you to move small. So sometimes it is like they're speaking a different language. There's schooling there in Liberia. There is a picture of a school. It's actually at one of the Christian Aid orphanages. The schooling is usually poor. They learn by the rote system or repetition. They don't learn by comprehending. So they would memorize their math facts that 1 + 1 = 2. You know, 2 + 2 = 4. They memorize words and reading. And so if they get to a word they don't know how to sound it out. Like we learn phonics. There's very few schools in Liberia that teach phonics. Here's a picture of some school children. All the schools in Liberia have uniforms, and usually it's by grade. The grade school has a different color uniform than, say, the high school or the middle school. Their housing. There's a more of a distant photo of a town. Their housing is often their houses are usually made out of concrete blocks or mud blocks that are mortared together. They have thatch roofs, although more recently they've been using what we would call tin. They call it zinc. It's a little bit better than aluminum foil. It's very, very flimsy. They actually roll it up to carry it. It's that thin. I think there's another picture of a town. They keep the grass and everything cut around their houses to keep snakes and bugs out of their house. Liberians usually live outside. They only use their house to store their things and to sleep in. Unlike us, we have our couches and everything inside our house. They would more or less sit outside their house and fellowship with their neighbors. That's a typical street view. That's in one of the main cities there in Monrovia. A lot of taxis, that's their main mode of transportation. You see all the yellow taxi cars, but they also have motorbikes as well. Their dress is very colorful. They like to wear color. Most of the women, they would say, tie their head or cover their head. Although the Western culture is more having an influence on them, and you see a lot more women without what we call the tying the head. Also, it was very rare to see a woman in Liberia wearing we call pants or slacks, but that is more coming in. Oftentimes, they have what they call lapa, or it's like a big piece of fabric that they usually just wrap around them as a skirt. They also use their lapa to tie their babies on their back, or they roll it up and use it as padding on top of their head when they carry heavy loads. There is a picture of the roads in rainy season. A lot of their roads are dirt roads, although more and more they are getting the main road. There's one main road that runs through Liberia, and they have that almost completed as far as putting pavement on that. But a lot of the roads are mud, and when it rains there. It just, and everything turns to mud. So that was a picture on one of my medical trips that we ran into that. The big truck in the center is stuck, and was stuck there for a couple hours, and the two pickups, or the two smaller vehicles on either side are stuck as well. There's many times in rainy season where the drivers will communicate and ask if it's safe or they can go to a certain town, because oftentimes your big 18-wheelers, your trucks get stuck and it blocks the road and you can't go through. And then you have roads, or they will call them roads, but they're not car roads. They're bridges. They're small paths back to their huts. So you have dirt roads, and then you have walking paths with wooden bridges. And you have bridges like that that are a little bit wider that you can drive a car on. Sometimes you just go and hope it holds your car. Most of the time it does. Let's take a little look at their food, what they eat. In their food, they eat basically once a day, and that is a bowl of rice underneath that. Brown looking stuff is rice. They start out with a big bowl of rice, and they put what they call a soup over top of it. They have many different types of soup, as you call it. You have potato greens, bitter ball, eggplant. You have pepper soup, which is as hot as it sounds. They have cow meat, cassava leaf, anything that they can eat, they basically do. They add enough of pepper in it, and it tastes great, they think anyway. For myself, I didn't care for all the hot food, and so I didn't eat too much of this stuff. I ate what they call dry rice, which is just plain white rice, or I tried to get it down. Along with, there were basically one big bowl of rice a day. They would usually have that about midday. They would have like tea and bread in the morning, and sometimes tea and bread in the evening as well. But that their main meal was rice. A lot of their food they buy at markets, outdoor markets. There's another thing they like to eat too. That's dried fish. Living right there by the sea, they had a lot of fishermen go out and catch fish. They bring it back, they dry it, and they also put that in their soup. There it is being sold at a market, and it smells about as good as it looks. I never tried it. Maybe I should have. Not knowingly, anyway, I didn't try it. But there's Heather. We often bought our fruit at an outdoor market. there we buy pineapples and oranges and mangoes and bananas, whatever was in season. Most of them never went into a supermarket. There were a couple supermarkets there that we went to that we could buy meat and cheese and potato chips and some things that us Americans craved when we don't have them. But most Liberians don't go to supermarkets because they have no way of refrigeration. Most of them don't have electric at their houses. All right. getting ahead of myself a little bit. Their currency, or the money that they had, they used our U.S. currency, but instead of coins, they used their Liberian dollars. The exchange rate was one U.S. dollar is worth about 90 Liberian dollars. So it almost worked out to use it as dollars and cents, but you often carried both currencies with you all the time. There is our church in Liberia. It's called Hope Mennonite Church. Christian Aid helped, or there's a mission there. Faith Missions is in charge of we have two churches there in Liberia. Hope Church, this church here is more out in the country, and then they have Light Church, which is in the main city of Monrovia, the capital city. Most people in Liberia would call themselves Christians, although there is more and more influence of the Muslim there in Liberia. You see more and more mosques going up in different towns. But even though the people would call themselves Christians, they're very nominal. Nominal. They're not committed. They would maybe go to church every once in a while, but they wouldn't be committed to living a Reformed life. A lot of them mix their... mix Christianity with their... we call it their devil worship. They would worship, Jesus in the church. Some places you heard they worship Jesus, had their church service in the morning, and then they had their devil bush meeting in the church in the afternoon. And there's people, members of both. This the whole idea of they just mixed it and they didn't have a real clear separation. Spirit worship, devil worship is very, very real in Liberia. And I never would have believed it until I went there. So I want to talk a little bit about it later. And I don't expect you to believe it, but it does happen. One thing that was very hard for us when we came back is the church service. The church services here in America are very, here as Mennonites, are very quiet. Nobody says amen, praise the Lord. We said God is good, five or six times in a worship service. When anyone ever got up to have to speak, they always started out with, praise the Lord, and the congregation would respond with amen. even just saying amen at the end of a prayer all together, I still want to do it sometimes, and I have to catch myself. A little bit about Liberia's history. Why Christian Aid went to Liberia, and it's still there. Christian Aid went to Liberia because of their civil war. They had about 14 or 15 years of civil war that ended in 2003 with the rebels trying to oust the president. It was very horrible. People were killed, massacred, tortured, and a lot of people, even like the people who worked there with us, the native people have stories to tell, horrible stories about what happened to them and their families, what they saw happen. And because of the whole Civil War, there's a lot of orphans left. So that's kind of why Christian Aid moved in. But then also the whole Ebola epidemic. There's a picture of them burying somebody in their Ebola suit, in their garb, all closed up. They're still burying people like this today just as a precaution. But during the Ebola, there's about 4,800 people died in Liberia alone, not including the other two countries. And it was hard to stop the spread because of their burial practices. They had a whole, their culture, and even a lot of times in the Muslim culture, they had ceremonial washing of the dead body. And by doing that, they just spread the Ebola virus to anybody who was there. Like I said, we were sent home over that time, so we didn't have a lot of experiences during that time. But Ebola left a lot of orphans and people. They were grieving, but forced to go on. This was life for them. They had to pick up and go. They buried everyone in a mass grave, or a lot of the people. Actually, they cremated a lot of the bodies, but the ones that they buried are in mass graves, just buried one next to each other. Like I said, my job in Liberia was medical director, which was my title. I was in charge of bringing medicine over from the States, requesting it, and distributing it there in Liberia. Why do they need medicine in Liberia? Well, there is a shortage of quality medicine. They have a lot of medicine coming from Nigeria and different other places in Africa, but the quality is not there. Also, many of the clinics, including the government clinics, run out of drugs, run out of medicine before their next shipment comes. And when the native people are told there's no medicine, they need to go buy it, many times they don't have the money for it, even if they could actually find the drug there in Liberia. So we there at Christian Aid, we would bring drugs over. This is a picture of my medical warehouse there at the base. We would try to help offset the shortfall of medicine. I would request medicine from the PA warehouse. It took about 6 weeks for it to get shipped over through a container. And then we would unpack it here in the warehouse, store it, and then I would decide what goes out to the clinics each month. We had about 40 health facilities. We had 3 hospitals and about 37 clinics we went to each month. We had 6 or 7 routes, and 4 of the routes took 2 or 3 days to go. Also, that is a picture of one of our clinics. There's the vehicle there. We call it an ambulance that we distributed the meds with. There's the inside. That's actually the pharmacy. And if you see the different drugs, it's kind of blurry, but it's a lot of cough syrup, pain medicine, antibiotic is usually what we gave out there. There we're unloading the medicine out of the truck. At this particular clinic, we had to load everything in a dugout canoe and take it across the river to get to the clinic. The clinic was probably about a 10-minute walk on the other sides of the town. Some of the medical cases that we had come to the actual Christian Aid compound there. We were not a clinic, but people came requesting help. A lot of times it was malnourishment or people wanting what we call infant formula because the mother passed away. There was a high percentage of pregnant women died during childbirth, and so they need some way to feed the baby. If they don't have money, they just feed it sugar water and hope it survives. So we had kind of a infant formula program there. But we see a lot of hernias, growths, tumors, broken bones, eye problems. People would try something, they didn't have the money, they would come and ask for assistance. So I was, along with another Liberian man, I was in charge of screening all those people and deciding who we're going to help. And this girl here was very malnourished. We gave her some nutritional drink, but unfortunately for her, her mother didn't care too much about her, and she actually died probably about two or three weeks after she came to my office. If I would have known how severely malnourished she was, I would have taken her to the hospital, but you just see a lot of that. This girl here was also malnourished, and I think she did. She also, too, passed away. And then you have cases like this. She was, this little girl was malnourished. We gave her the nutritional drink, and she is happy, healthy. She's fat, and that's what we go for. So we see a lot of that. Oftentimes, the cases we saw are people, they tried something else, and it didn't work. They often come when nothing else works. They try their country medicine, they go to the witch doctor. When the witch doctor can't help them, then they come to us. And for broken bones, and it's too late for us to do anything because they can no longer be set in place. I think I skipped over a page or something. No, I'll get to it later. But yeah, their medical care is very different than here. It's all about money. Oftentimes you had to bribe the nurses to actually, get in the hospital and get a bed. Yeah, it just depends what it was. The care you received was very not good. Yeah, I think that's, yeah. My other job there at Christian Aid was a warehouse manager. I had to try to keep the warehouse orderly. We had a container came to the warehouse. We had about 3 containers a month that came. Sometimes more, sometimes less, but it averaged about 3 a month that came. It had food for the orphan program, it had food boxes for the elderly, medicine for the medical program, it had clothing and blankets, Bibles, Christian literature, all types of things that we had to try to keep organized and take inventory once a month on that. All right, that's all I had for pictures. So now you can go to sleep as I talk. What God taught me while I was in Liberia. This question really hit home when we decided, you know, we are coming back. Time was coming down, 3-4 months left. And we started to think, did I really learn anything in Liberia? How is my life going to be different here in the States than when I left? Did living in Liberia really change me? And so I started thinking about the question, and we came up, we talked about it as a couple, and we came up with some things that we want to remember to put into practice as we live our life here. And maybe some of you already have some of this down pat, and I welcome your input. But the first thing I wanted to talk about is I wanted to bring a rubber band up here, but I couldn't find a nice big one at the house before I came. But we are supposed to be like a rubber band. You know, a rubber band isn't useful unless it's around something. You know, if you just had a rubber band, you know, it could lay here. It's not really doing you any good, but you wrap it around a piece of paper, it's holding it together. As little boys, you know, you stretch it out, point it at somebody, then it's useful. It's a weapon. You know, people take notice. But the only way a rubber band is useful is when it's stretched. You know? And the only way that we can really be useful or we're most useful is when we're stretched. We're out of our comfort zone. You know, we're not in familiar territory. And that's how it was moving over to Liberia. Liberia really stretched me. And that's when God can use you. And but to be useful, like a rubber band, we need to be soft and pliable. If we get brittle and hard, when God stretches us, we're going to break. In Liberia, interruptions were normal. We planned for things to go wrong, and when they did it, then it was great. here, we plan our schedule tight. If there's an interruption, we get all bent out of shape. And so the first thing I want to remember when I come back is to be flexible. The next one we had to think about is that life is not fair. Many, many times over there, I had to think, you know, this little 12-year-old boy that came who has this medical condition easily could have been me. Why was I born in America, in Lancaster County, to a Mennonite family who their mom and dad loved each other, who loved us as children? We are so blessed. Life is not fair. You saw their housing. Poor, living on very little money a day. Their houses were dirt, mud. They cooked outside. I thought it was bad. I didn't even have carpet in my house. You know, it was tile. That was hard. I didn't have my nice soft couch. The cushions on the couch there in Liberia were very thin, and you couldn't sit on them for too long. But just the whole, everything is different. They're extended families. They live together in a house. Oftentimes, you had your brother or your sister's family living with you. And if you had a job, you took care of them. You paid for their expenses because work was hard to come by. Like I said before, their medical care is so different. It's mostly about money. As many times, a couple of times, people came for help. We said, we can't help you. You need to go outside of Liberia to get treated. Liberia could not treat cancer. Someone had cancer. There was no chemotherapy. Also, there was only one bone doctor in Liberia, and he traveled around. So if you had someone that came that their bone wasn't set right, you had to find out where he was and send that person there. Like I said before, they often try their country medicine, wrapping it with herbs and sticks, going to the witch doctor first because it was cheaper. When that didn't work, then they tried going the medical side, which oftentimes it was too late. Like I said before, money, they have very little money. Their economy is very bad. It's hard to find a good job. And if somebody in your family has a good job, you will probably be asking them to help you. Either you send your children to them, to live with them, that way they can pay for their schooling. While you look for a job, their whole family system was a lot different than it is around here. The third thing I realized, which didn't take long, but that I am rich. You know, as we came back here to Lancaster County, we realized that materialism can easily be your God. Coming back, want our house to look nice, want our yard to look nice. You know, we need this and that. It's expensive to live here in America. And things can easily take up our time and our money. We need to stop looking at your neighbor, what other people have, not their houses and their land, how much money they have, you know, the toys that they park in their garage. their cars and their trucks. I had to think about this this week as we're working on the job, working at people's houses that make way more than I would ever dream of. And, you know, am I content with the little house that God gave me? Am I thankful for what I have and not wishing for other things? Do I thank God every day? You know, life is short. That's one thing that struck me there in Liberia. You know, life is short. Life is cheap. People die every day. There probably wasn't a week that went by that someone didn't bring a small child, an infant, to the office there and say, can you help with baby food because this child's mother died during childbirth. Life is short. They have a song there in Liberia that goes like this. It says, he didn't have to do it, but he did. He woke me up this morning and sent me on my way. He didn't have to do it, but he did. You know, God didn't have to wake you up this morning. You could still be laying in your bed. But God woke you up this morning for a reason. Did you live for him today? There's an older guy there. He was a driver. We retired him because of his age. But he used to come back and fill in when we were busy. When you ask him how he is, he said he's doing fine. He's still in the waiting room. Picturing each one of us are in the waiting room and we're waiting for God to come and call us. At any time, God could call us and we would leave this world. Are you living today like it's your last? Also, well, this whole thing of materialism and being thankful with what you have, we came back and we want to live life simply. We want to be real. We don't want to try living our life just to impress the people around us. We want to get back to the basics of Christian life and doing everything to please Jesus, to please Christ. Is he the one we are following? You know, I'm here on this earth for God's glory, not for my own. But are we glorifying God? Everything in the U.S. here seems to be about comfort. Well, you can do it faster, easier, this way. You don't have to work so hard. But hard things, troubles, and trials is the way that we grow. The way we get stretched. When we get out of our comfort zone. You know, we shouldn't just plan for the future. You know, as we come back, you know, I'm thinking, you know, maybe I should start saving for retirement. You know, when I get old, I want to just sit back and relax, right? I want to take it easy. Am I planning that much? Am I spending that much time planning for my retirement? Am I spending that much time planning for my eternal retirement? Don't just plan for the future, but plan for eternity. Am I planning to live my life in heaven? How much of your day is spent for things, for your things, and how much of your time is spent for the things of God? You know, I worked an 8 or 10 hour day today for myself, right? So I can pay my bills. How much time did I spend to do God's work today? The last thing, probably the biggest thing that became real to us there in Liberia, is the conflict between God and Satan. Liberia, like I said before, is deep into witchcraft and devil worship. Satan is real and powerful. But we need to remember that God is greater. God protects his own children. Are you a child of God? You know, Satan worship is a lot quieter. We don't hear about it here. We think about someone serving self as serving Satan, which that is true. We don't have a lot of people here outright worshiping the devil like there in Liberia. But they have power. The people, the natives there are scared of those individuals who are, can we say, high in the devil society. Because they do have power. They they can have out-of-body experiences. They can, say, put their spirit into animals and go different places. They can actually kill in the spirit world and the person dies physically. But the thing that is comforting is, you know, those people can do nothing with the child of God. They say in the spirit world that when they come out to attack a child of God, they can't do anything because there's a ring of fire around that person. They can't penetrate that. They had workshops at one town that was big into devil worship. Having a revival, telling the people the truth, people were coming to know the Lord. About halfway through the week or weekend, the two main devil people came to the meeting. They said, "We were out of town trying to create disruption in the meeting, but we couldn't. We didn't have the power to do it. So we decided to come and find out what it's all about." Satan is real, and he's trying his hardest to undermine the church however he can. You know, it's a different way here in the States than it is in Liberia. You know, here I can probably say it's a lot more subtle. It's not such straight on as over in Africa. But we are still fighting against Satan. I want to read a couple familiar verses out of Ephesians 6 tonight. This is Bible school, so I should probably read out of the Bible some. But Ephesians 6, a very familiar verse. In verse 12, it says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." We are fighting against Satan and against the devil. I think sometimes we can get confused and we think we're fighting against each other. We're fighting against members in the church. But we are fighting against Satan. We are fighting against principalities, power, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness, not against flesh and blood. Something we can't do on our own. We need each other. We can't be fighting. You know, relationships and people matter. Over there in Liberia, we had four families, a handful of single people. We're all from different churches, all from different age brackets, different areas of our life, phases of our life. But we all could come together and work together for a common cause. We could overlook our differences because we knew everyone was committed to the program there at Christian Aid. You know, I think we need to overlook some of our differences here in United States, in Lancaster County or Lebanon County, wherever you guys are at, and work together. Take time for each other. Life is only as busy as you make it. Be a person that others feel comfortable around. You know, you can get along with somebody if you have to. If you really want to, you can get along with somebody. And along with that, confession and accountability are needed among us as brethren, us as church members. It is very important to be open and honest with each other. It's good for ourselves, and it encourages the people around us. Before I left, they wanted me to have, let's say, a topic or the sermon for Sunday morning. And I picked the topic that we need to stand. And I based it out of here, out of Ephesians here. I just want to read a couple of verses before and after verse 12 here. Starting at verse 10 of Ephesians 6. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore." You know, I just want to kind of end with that. You know, stand where God has planted you. Stand where God has you in your life. We need to rely on him to give us strength. But to stand, we need to live a victorious life over sin. Is your life bearing fruit, or are you a dead tree? Oftentimes we can make dead trees look alive, but they aren't bearing fruit. So in closing, my prayer is that we would work together, encouraging one another to remain strong in this life, keeping our focus on Jesus and heaven, not being distracted by the things of this world and what this world has to offer us. But let us live every day like it's our last. Thank you. I want to thank you for this opportunity for coming and sharing. Hopefully it was an encouragement to you. I know I wanted to do this because I wanted to put my thoughts on paper so I don't forget what God has taught me in Liberia. So thank you.